When it comes to app and web design, most of us have been there, struggling through confusing menus, wrestling with illogical flows, and battling interfaces that just don't make any sense. My next guest found these experiences frustrating, so she decided to do something about it. Kate Tuprina was a university lecturer and not a trained designer, but in her free time, she started tinkering with simple website builders and trying to organize information and make them design friendly and improve the clumsy user flows. And she found herself drawn to correcting these design flows and diving into the psychology of users and creating intuitive flows. And now, just after a few years of self-teaching and online courses and everything in between, Kate is crafting UIs and prototypes and experiences for businesses. She won't be the first to say it's been a journey of like trial and error, tinkering and testing, but it's an amazing one. So let's welcome Kate Tuprina to the Same Logic podcast. Kate, it's so great to have you on our podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me today. I'm super excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell us about your background. How did you get started in UX design? And like, how did you hear about it? Like, yeah, how did you get into the industry?
Oh, actually, my journey into the world of UX design is a blend of passion and fortunate events, I can say. So firstly, I spent 6 years working as a private tutor, where most of my students were from IT field, like developers, UI artists, and graphic designers. So, you know, we often discuss the work that they did, their tools and responsibilities. So their passion was contagious for me, and it sparked like my curiosity about the field and start exploring it. So it was the first thing. Secondly, just after that, post my master's, I started working as a lecturer at the Technical University. And interestingly, I was assigned to the software department where I taught technical English. So this role required to learn the subject before you introduce it to students. So this self-driven exploration further solidified my interest in the field. And the final push came when my husband introduced me to a course on website building. So he had discovered a fantastic instructor who was offering a few initial lessons for free. And I decided to give it a shot. And those sessions were like transformative for me. So I delved deeper and started exploring it more about user experience and how to make good website, you know. And so this is actually how my journey started. And so here I am. Yeah,
that's amazing. And also, you have a master's degree in education. How do you think that informs your approach to design?
Oh, interesting question. You know, doing my master's degree, I did a lot of research. And first, it was my first experience of doing like somehow like audience research, like I do in when I design a product. So, and beside that, when you explore the subject during your studies, you always keep in mind this user-centered approach that I use now in my work. So yeah, these two things that actually make me stronger in UX design. And it wasn't all like, you know, unfamiliar and yeah.
And what has been the most unexpected thing for you that you've learned transitioning from academia to designing digital products?
You know, in general, first of all, it was a kind of challenge for me to start like from scratch again, as by the time I had like 5 years of experience being a private tutor and then a lecturer. So I was like already experienced and had my clients with whom who I taught. Transitioning to digital products, you know, I've always been tech savvy and technology is always like, it was something that I knew that my life would be with this thing, you know, especially like the world is developing in this direction, technologies, now AI and so on and so forth. And it's it's becoming much more interesting to explore. So for me, the most challenging thing was, yeah, this starting from scratch and coming to where I am now.
And when it comes on to guiding principles behind like designing or any guiding philosophies, what do you keep in mind when you're designing experiences for users?
I love this question a lot. You know, the thing and the guideline for me in UX is, firstly, you have the client, or like it can be a person who wants some website, or like a group of like a startup who wants some platform, digital desktop version of, I don't know, something. And you have always someone, business, who wants something. And for example, yeah, and you have a client, you have users who have their needs as well. And for me, I'm like a third party here who needs to juggle both these needs to make it work. And not only making, you know, in general, when you do the right thing, when keeping in mind user needs, and you see that business somehow becoming richer because of your right decisions, as you've tried to hear not only the client but also users, keeping it in mind. So yeah, these both things usually works really, really good together if you concise and accurate with your choice.
Yes, you have to always keep the user in mind, and that's like it's something I really, really love as well. When it comes on to like common mistakes or pitfalls that you see in UX, what are some ways do you think that designers can avoid them? I think we should break it into two parts. I would say, what are some of the common mistakes that you see like in the industry, in the UX industry?
You know, being a designer, it's mistakenly understood that it's more about like beauty, this beautiful picture. But in reality, the mistake that most UX designers do, it's like keeping it like that. But it's more about like usability and about like what is happening under the hood, you know. People tend to forget about accessibility, just keeping in mind this basic principle, these basic guidelines, like readability, contrast, and so on and so forth. And being more focused on how to stand out with some animated things. But in reality, it can work with certain products. For example, for some design studio, for example. But with the real product that should be catered for like broader audience, it probably won't work.
So when it comes down to like crafting experiences and crafting designs, what are your go-to tools or programs for bringing an idea to life? Or are there any plugins that you like to work with as well?
Yeah, you know, Figma is my favorite. It's like, it's everything, you know. I've tried several other tools like Adobe Illustrator and even Adobe Photoshop. But I see that with Figma, when you try to create things, not only like wireframes, you develop your creativity on how you can do some, you know, for example, for my latest project, I needed to design some like medals, like badges for some topic. I've spent probably a bit of like much more time that I could use just for example Photoshop for this thing. But still, you try different approaches, and I feel like I somehow develop my creativity for like unusual, for some usual tasks, some unusual approaches, you know. And as for the plugins, I am really bad with names, but I found that most plugins are AI driven, so it's like it facilitates and make your work much more efficiently and productive. So yeah, these are the resources that are indispensable nowadays. for designers.
What preference do you have when it comes down to working on platforms? For example, do you prefer to work on mobile apps, websites, or software platforms? And tell me why.
I really enjoy working on, I think, desktop versions, desktop applications, as you have much more space.
Yes.
But in reality, it depends on the topic. As you know, nowadays, if your website or application is not responsive, it doesn't work like that. And that's why it's in general, it's fun to make this responsive version, like from desktop ones to mobile ones, and how it can be transformed. I mean, the essence is the same, but with different elements, it becomes another like application at all. And in general, like I've been raised with this website builders, so probably that's why it's just close to my heart to work with desktop versions, desktop applications. And yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah. And what it comes down to, like getting inspiration when you're stuck creatively, what sources do you go to, and what would you recommend for people who are stuck in like that design quagmire?
For UX design, it's always there are some cases when you like stuck. It's like it's also indispensable part of your job as well. And usually I use some applications like Behance, Pinterest, and some other digital platforms. But if it doesn't work, I just I try to explore like behind digital world. Like I go just dancing, go to hiking, like even walking and thinking about or listening to some podcast, and you just like a moment, and you know what you're going to do, and you just come to your laptop, and you just start doing, and you just come with that idea. Yeah, it's I love the process when especially you struggle to find the right decision, like oh my God, how to make the layouts, like especially now I'm working on an application for kids, and sometimes it's like a real struggle for me, a real challenge. And as you should keep kids engaging, you should make the information like that I or, that he wants or like they want to click. And I usually like even last week I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But then when I made actually this, there was a page like superheroes about doctors, and I made and there was a case like qualities of a doctor, and I made these medals for a doctor, like super power of a doctor, and I love the idea and how it works. And yeah, it's really I love the process.
Love that. So based on what you're seeing in the industry, what do you think will happen in the UX industry or the UI space in the next 3 to 5 years? What are some of the trends that you see happening now? And are there any like emerging technologies on your radar?
Yeah, in general, I think that as far as I see, not there are no so I mean, with all these developing technologies and AI and everything, people still struggle to make good design, good application, for example. It's like you can have like a lot of tools. You can make this AI that makes the website, or like some pictures or something. But if you do not know how to use it, and you only rely on this, it won't work, to know how to use it could make you work much more efficiently in some terms. But in general, as far as I see, some good designs with clear navigations, it's still like the basic, and as for the emerging reality to design, yeah, I see that it's like developing. But still, I think we have some time, at least 5 years. I think we have before we learn how to do this.
It's a lot of learning happening, especially with like the generative AI. Yeah, it's crazy. Every single day there is something new, but you're right. If you don't really know how to use it in the proper way, you know, it's very hard. It's going to be very hard for you to utilize the power. If you could redesign any major app or any major website today, which one would you choose and why?
I really love the question. I remember I wanted to buy a pair of like Nike shoes. And I remember I saw like the tab in the left angle, but it was actually some important tab, and someone put it like, you know, in the angle where it like you can't see it. And I think it's a real problem for Nike in general. And I think I would love to collaborate with them to offer my service. I think they have some problems as for loading the pages. I think it could be optimized as well. But you know, recently I've started learning digital accessibility course, and I really wanted to check. One of my homework is to check the website on the accessibility as well. And maybe a lot much more comments on this will come when I will try my technologies on that.
Got it. So yes, anyone from Nike here listening, Kate would love to collaborate.
Thank you.
So this is my last question here. I ask everyone who comes on the show, and I always love the responses, but this is a question. What's one weakness that you've turned into your strength?
You know, it's not only professional, but it's also personal. It's the weakness to say no. Probably for the last 2 years, I've managed to set my boundaries with people in general, professional and personally. And, you know, sometimes when you have some interesting projects, especially like from clients, you have two clients, and not like this one is interesting and this one is not, but you just want to do this both as they like your passion, you know. And it's difficult to say no, you know. And but you understand that I don't have time for this now, as I have my full-time work and my freelance and personal life as well, as I'm newly married. So yeah, a lot of going on. So you need just I cannot spend like much more time on my work, even if it's like my passion. So for me, like to have these boundaries and saying no, understanding what I want, prioritizing things, it's probably been my weakness that I turned into my strengths. I'm really trying to speak and to express what I feel, and that I cannot do this if I can't. So yeah,
I love that. Kate, thanks so much for joining us on the Same Logic podcast. Where can our listeners find you if they'd love to connect?
They can go to my LinkedIn, where I frequently post really useful things and tips for designers, especially with my new exploring this accessibility world. So yeah, would be happy to connect there.
Thanks for listening to the Same Logic podcast. To stay in touch, please follow us on LinkedIn or the podcast app you're listening to this on right now for more episodes. I'm Dwayne Samuels. Take care.